Hey, back at the Advanced Selling Podcast, Bill Caskey.
Brian Neal.
How are you, Brian?
I'm hotter than Hades. Hotter than Hades. We have these spotlights that shoot right up our behinds, and we stand here and have my sweatshirt on. It's 10 degrees outside, but it's 89 in here. I'm hot. I'm sorry.
That's good.
We need new lights for the studio.
Have you ever shot a gun?
You know what's funny? And I don't want to bare my political soul here. Uh-huh. I have never, ever shot a gun, ever.
Well,
ever.
I never had
not
either
one time
until Saturday.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a city boy, and I just never went hunting, and
right.
I just never needed self-defense.
Yeah.
And, so my wife took her family and my family out to the shooting range on
Very
Saturday.
Very fun, I think.
What was interesting is Clayton, my daughter's new husband, it was like 1 minute into the shoot, all of a sudden at the other end, we hear, "Oh!" And it turns out a 22 shell had hit the side wall and hit him.
Oh,
so
my
literally,
God.
He got shot.
Oh, my God.
And let's put it this way. Clayton's kind of like me. I don't think he's ever shot a gun. But
I got
he was like,
shot.
God damn, what the hell? And it was a big mark right here.
Oh, my God.
He had
under his
glasses
eye.
On.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, thank God it didn't.
Holy cow.
But so it was like 2 minutes in, we'd already shot ourselves. But it was funny.
Oh,
it
that's
was a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Guns kept jamming, but other than that, it is. It's kind of an interesting feeling.
Yeah.
You know, the 22 shoots like a pop gun, so it's not really a big blowback kind of thing. But yeah, we probably need to be a little bit bring out the big guns.
Not to up your story, but my friend who we're going to see Saturday night at this fundraising event, he and his dad and his brother who own a company together, they have a big bucket list together, the three of them. One of them was to go pheasant hunting. And they went pheasant hunting a couple seasons ago up in Wisconsin, and the dad shot my buddy. And he's fine, but he shot him. Only time they've ever been hunting their whole lives. He's in the emergency room, tweeting up in the emergency room. Pheasant hunting, not what I thought it was going to be. In emergency room, you know, 12 buckshot. So clearly, I was on a call this morning. This guy's talking about this tool I've given him. He goes, you know, I think it gives me a really good tool to go to battle with. And he knows, like, we're not that way selling wise, you know. So he goes, well, I don't mean go to battle. It just gives me some better ammunition. I'm like, no.
No, still.
Sorry.
Still
anyway, we digress.
Okay. Brooke Green is coming along in a little bit, and she's got a great question that was one of the LinkedIn questions, so by all means, stay tuned.
And if you're an active participant there, as you heard last podcast, we had our 1,000th member, I should say, and Brooke's going to come in regularly now and I think address some of those questions, so be sure to be active there in the LinkedIn group, and then you can hear from Brookie a little bit later.
Have a burning question you want to ask us? Put it in an email and send it to listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com. If it's good, we'll use it on the podcast. If it's really good, we may have you on the show to coach you live. Now, back to Bill and Brian.
Topic today.
Yeah. This is inspired from one of my clients. Her name is Julie. And she said, I think this might be a good idea for your podcast. She said, you know, one thing she's struggling with, she's a really positive person. And there are elements to what she does, whether it's industry or environment, that I think would apply to anyone, that when things around you aren't super positive, how do you stay inspired and motivated on your own? So this is a little bit about how do I as an individual motivate myself as a salesperson when the motive or the mojo just isn't cooking for me.
Where does she work and who's her boss?
Now that I said that and I put we're okay.
No,
but that's a very common thing, right? And I don't care how good you are, how good your culture is. That happens in all places to all people. I think that's one of the kind of common things that we need to address here. This is a very natural experience to go through, where you've got a market or a condition or a company where you just get in a rut. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just get down in the dump. So how do you get yourself back remotivated, positive? So we're going to talk a little bit about
that. And this is good for you sales managers and sales leaders and regional managers and VPs out there too, because a lot of times you are the person who perceives that you have to be the one that's always motivating and inspiring. Mm. But it really is up to each individual. You can't – there's not enough you to go around to keep everybody up and on top of their game. So this really is a personal accountability thing too.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think that is one of the myths of this concept is usually this concept is searched on or learned about by sales managers and they ask themselves, how can I motivate my sales team?
Right.
And our contention here is, while that's great and noble, that is not necessarily your job. That is their job to motivate themselves. And if you motivate and they motivate themselves, we get a much better result.
Yeah. So that's really point number one is this is your responsibility,
yes.
and you can only be accountable to yourself for this. So
no doubt about it. So I've got three things here that I think are helpful. I've either seen my clients engage in or that I've engaged in to help me when my either environment around me is negative, or I just don't have the mojo or the juice, and I need some something to do. You want me to go first? You
was
want to go?
Eat ice cream one of yours?
I did. No, sure I did not have eat ice cream. I did have drink a fifth of Jack Daniels
in the morning
in 30 minutes. So, okay. But that usually helps for a small bit, and then it goes away.
And then when you're doing it like 9 days in a row, it finally catches.
Yeah, up. Just something. You know, my cheeks turn red. It's just not good. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you had to eat ice cream. That's very good.
Yeah, I like that one. That wasn't one of mine.
Okay, here's one of mine. First one. You have to breathe. You have to embrace the fact that you are in a lull or in a place where your energy or your environment isn't strong and positive. I think if you try to battle it and fight it, you can tend to perpetuate it. And so part of this is just embracing the idea that life goes up and down. It's just part of the natural human condition. Things go well, things don't go well. You do things good, you make mistakes. It's just part of what we do. And just to embrace that as the natural ebb and flow of the world around you is kind of step number one for me. And just to breathe and take it in.
So if you hear someone say, God, I got to get myself out of this slump. Yes. I just really got to work harder. You're saying that's not –
absolutely.
Might not
there's
be the
angst
right strategy.
Around it. Yeah. To me, it's like, you know what? I finally kind of realized that, yes, you know what? I am here. I'm in a slump and I'm in a place where my mojo just isn't really strong right now. Boom, and let it be there for just a moment, just to give yourself a settling point. Because to your point, what I picture is someone that's down in a pit, like I shouldn't say that. You're down, it's a call back from Silence of the Lambs, but you're stuck in there and you're trying to claw out. And the faster you dig, the deeper you go.
Yeah.
That's what I picture there. So you got to stop digging for a moment and then try to get your way out.
Okay. Eastern philosophers would say anytime you try to battle something, you give more life and power to the thing you're trying to battle to.
Very good.
It's a doldrum or if it's a slump or if it's a demotivational place, by fighting it just kind of promotes it even further.
Yes.
I've got one which everyone's heard before, but it really helps me, and that is work out.
Nice.
I walk down to the refrigerator and back. It's pretty much
to get your ice cream. That's good.
Ice cream, which was
you lift
one.
The 5 gallon like
that's
curls.
Right. Look at these guns.
That's good.
But workout that is not just cardio, but also lifting and weight work and core work. I think that really relieves my stress. And if I go a couple of days without it, I never liked it when people said, if I go a couple of days, I'm getting kind of squirrely.
Yeah.
But it is true. I think when you get into that rhythm of working out, lifting, some resistance, something that's heavier than maybe what you would normally lift, I think it provides a freedom and kind of a core strength that you feel like you can tackle other things.
It's funny you say that. I had a client in a coaching session just yesterday who said, you know, just she's kind of been here for a while now and she's trying to peel herself out. And the physicalness comes along with it.
It does.
So she's kind of been down the dumps. She had some family stuff and then she got some work stuff. And now all of a sudden your physical is like, eh. And she said, you know, I was so proud of myself. I put my gym shoes on yesterday. And she hadn't put her gym shoes on for however many months. I'm like, that's beautiful. That's, you know, and people are like, well, so what? That's the step one, right?
Yeah, step
Before
one.
You go to the gym, you put your gym shoes on. Yep. Then guess what? Then you walk. You walk to the fridge. Mm-hmm. Then you walk up and down the stairs. Then you go to the gym. So give yourself a chance to do those things. I think that was really good. Okay, next. This is kind of along those same lines. Do something little. Just do one little thing. I think sometimes when people are in these ruts and they're in these valleys where they just feel like they're hopeless and they can't get out and they don't know where to start, they make this big long list of stuff to do. Okay, I'm going to get myself going again. So I got a workout plan. I'm going to go to a trainer. Going to go to boot camp. Okay, then I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read the whole Bible front to back. Then I'm going to read it in Hebrew. And then I'm going to do this
backwards.
And that. And then all this stuff. And they're going to do that. And they're going to go call. I'm going to make 50 cold calls a day. 50 cold calls by Tuesday. And all of that just causes more angst. And it typically fails. The recommendation here is focus on one element of that and one little tiny thing and take the one little first step. I just gave you that example. So if you think, God, I got to get myself in gear. Okay, I'm going to lose 100 pounds in 4 weeks and I'm going to purge myself and I'm going to do this, all this. Just put your gym shoes on. Just one little thing. Mm-hmm. And then if you put your gym shoes on, take a couple steps. And then put your gym shoes on, take a few more steps and do one little bit of action to help you.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about here, the common theme, and we've said if you're down in the dump, you don't have to be necessarily down to have this work for you. You can just be at a static level. You could just, like you said, your client said, look back and say, wait a minute, I'm at the same place now I was 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
So it's not a form of depression or anxiety attacks or despair. It's just if you don't feel like you're really growing. And so one of my other ones here would be just get clear on your vision.
Mm.
Because when we lose sight of what we're really here to do and our purpose and why we do what we do, it becomes one distraction after another. And so I know in our group, we're always working on where do we want to be? What's the path? How do we get there?
Yeah.
And I think when we leave those meetings, we have tons of inspiration that we didn't have to go out and make ourselves be inspired about.
Yeah, no
we
doubt.
Just focus on the vision, focus on serving others, focus on the purpose of why we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps because it really brightens the future up so that these little distractions and small slumps don't really get the best of us.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, last one for me.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And that is examine and modify your perspective of things. Examine and modify your perspective. Oftentimes when we get in a slump, we've gotten there and the world around us has changed and our perspective is left in the old world. And I can't figure out how to get out of there. Part of the hindrance to me getting out of my little doldrum is I've still holding on to my old perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And we use this as an example. So we talk about, if you would have said, well, what do we do here? Well, we mostly work with sales teams here in Indianapolis, Indiana. And we think, okay, well, we're never going to grow with that. So, but until we let go of that and say, well, let's do something like a podcast and put ourselves out there, will we ever, now we can reach people in Australia and England and Japan and those other places. But it took a perspective change for us to be okay with that and to feel that that's possible. Otherwise, we're just still stuck in the same old and we're working everything north of I-70 in Indianapolis, Indiana. So that's a great thing to examine. What am I thinking? What am I hanging on to that I need to change or consider modifying or tweaking that's holding me back?
Yeah, that's great.
A great question.
Yeah, perspective. You might even say if things don't feel right in the physical world, things are not right in the mental world.
Yeah, sure.
And it's always our perspective that somehow trips us up. So.
Yeah.
If you're in a slump or don't feel good about where things are, just look at how you're thinking about things. There may be a solution
there. Yeah, no doubt.
Okay. Brooke is going to come in and talk a little bit about a question that she has seen on LinkedIn, and we've got a lot of threads on this. So, Brooke, why don't you join us?
Hey, everybody. This is Brooke Green, and I am here to talk a little bit about a question that was posed to us as part of our LinkedIn group, the Advanced Selling Podcast. And this question comes from Ian O'Brien. Thank you, Ian. And his question was, what should be your main aim at a first sales meeting with a prospective client? It was really interesting reading the feedback that Ian got to his question, everything from how much time should you plan on being in a meeting to how much preparation you do to honestly what you are thinking about when you're in that first meeting. All of them were great suggestions. I think we would all say that we're just really happy to know that you guys plan so much because that's 50% of it is just preparing your mind. But I'm going to throw a different spin on that and say that I would like us to not be thinking about anything in that first meeting. And when I say not thinking about anything, I mean to just be present in the moment. So if you've agreed to go see someone, I would guess that there's something interesting there for both of you that they would take the time to invite you in. But kind of like a doctor that is walking into an examination room, they go in thinking nothing really, and they ask a lot of questions and try to determine what's going on so they can determine the next step, whether that's send them home with aspirin, send them home and say, I can't find anything wrong, or you know what, we need to see each other again. Kind of the same thing with you and your prospect. It's just discovery. Or another analogy is, and actually somebody put this on the comments, it's like a first date. It's a cup of coffee. It's asking each other a lot of questions and deciding if there's anything there that would make you both want to come back and see each other again. So those are my thoughts on the first prospect meeting. Again, I loved all of the comments about preparation because I know in my clients, a lot of times that's the biggest hurdle is as we all get busier and try to do more things, even taking time to think before the 2 seconds it takes you to get from your car into the front door is really, really important. Now it's back to the guys.
That was fantastic.
Great job, Brooke.
If you haven't joined the LinkedIn group, do so. Brooke's going to be doing that regularly on the podcast. And it's a great tool, great way to bring the community alive for Advanced Selling Podcast listeners.
Thanks for listening today. Brian and I will be back here in a week or so. And make sure you email us any questions you have or comments at listener@advancedsellingpodcast.com.
Only 3 takes that took us. Well done. See you next time.
Good. See you. Bye.
This podcast presented by Caskey, leaders in sales training and executive coaching. If you like today's podcast, share with your friends, family, and starving salespeople everywhere.